الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the rest of the Quran will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن المجرمين في عذاب جهنم خالدون، لا يفتر عنهم وهم فيه مبلسون، وما ظلمناهم ولكن كانوا هم الظالمين. ونادوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك، قال إنكم ماكثون. لقد جئناكم بالحق ولكن أكثركم للحق كارهون. أم أبرموا أمرا فإنا مبرمون، أم يحسبون أنا لا نسمع سرهم ونجواهم، بلى ورسلنا لديهم يكتبون. قل إن كان للرحمن ولد فأنا أول العابدين، سبحان رب السماوات والأرض رب العرش عما يصفون. فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. إن المجرمين في عذاب جهنم خالدون. Indeed, the sinners shall suffer the punishment of Jahannam forever. In the previous lesson, we had discussed those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a mention of the dwellers of paradise, those who will leave this world with iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the blessings of Jannah and paradise. From the next verse, verse number 74, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now makes a mention of the people of Jahannam. And this also shows the significance of those who will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That on one side you have those people who, because they obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be granted entry into paradise. But on the other side, those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who live a life of sin, and in particular, if a person was to leave this world without iman, then such a person will be from the dwellers of Jahannam, not only for a particular period of time, but rather for eternity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innal mujrimin. So normally the word mujrim is translated as a criminal. So a criminal or a sinner. But over here it refers to the kuffar. Because the greatest crime that a person can commit is to reject that very being who created him. or to ascribe partners with that very being who has created him. So the kafir and the mushrik, a kafir is someone who doesn't believe in Allah and rejects Allah, and a mushrik is somebody who ascribes partners with Allah. Both, if they were to die in this state, they will remain in Jahannam forever and ever. So they are both mujrimeen, they are both criminals. So Allah Ta'ala says that such people, fi adabi jahannam khalidun, they shall suffer the punishment of Jahannam forever. La yufattaru anhum wa hum fihi mublisun. The punishment shall not be reduced for them, and they will lose all hope there. So two points have been mentioned here. The first point is la yufattaru anhum, that this punishment of Jahannam will not be reduced. In this world, when a person is punished for any crime that he commits, there's every possibility that after some time, the person who is punishing this person will feel sorry for him. He will have pity on him. And the punishment after some time will decrease. But in Jahannam, this will not happen. In Jahannam, the punishment will only increase. So there will be no decrease. Regarding certain angels who punish people in the grave, we find in the ahadith that they are blind. So when they are blind, they cannot even see this person suffering. So how are they going to have mercy on him? If you could see someone, then there's a possibility that you will have mercy on him. But this angel is blind. Likewise, they are deaf. So no matter how much this person screams, the angel cannot hear anything. In another place we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to the angels of Jahannam, that these angels, لا يأسون الله, they never disobey Allah Ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to punish a certain person, they will punish him because they don't disobey Allah. They do as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to do. So the punishment shall not be reduced for them. وَهُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ. And they will lose all hope. Meaning they will lose all hope of emerging from Jahannam. So in the initial stages, when a person is being punished in Jahannam, there will be this hope that somehow one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take me out of Jahannam. And they will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on many different occasions. In different parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the different pleas of the people of Jahannam. For example, in one place, Allah Ta'ala says that they will say, رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ فَاعْتَرَفْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا فَهَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ. So in that verse, هَلْ إِلَىٰ خُرُوجٍ مِّن سَبِيلٍ, is there any road for us from which we can exit from Jahannam? In another place, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِئْنَا. Oh Allah, now we have seen with our eyes, we have heard with our ears. فَرْجِئْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Give us another chance to go into the world and do some good deeds. So different pleas of the people of Jahannam have been mentioned in different places. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just before moving on to that, Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. That we did not oppress them, meaning we did not oppress the people of Jahannam. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا هُمُ الظَّالِمِينَ. But they were the oppressors themselves. So nobody should think to himself that how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oppress people in Jahannam by punishing them so severely. This is not oppression, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it completely clear in this world that if you obey Allah, if you believe Allah, then this is going to be the result. And if you disobey Allah, if you commit sins, and you live with kufr, then this is going to be the punishment. So when you have already been informed, now after this, if you still do wrong, then it's as if you are oppressing yourself. Allah Ta'ala is not oppressing you. So in Jahannam, a time will come which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions here in Surah Az-Zukhruf. And that is that wanado, they will call out, Ya Malik, O Malik, liyaqdi alayna rabbuk. Your Rabb should settle or decide our matter. First of all, they will say, Ya Malik, O Malik. So who is Malik? Malik is the leader of the angels of Jahannam. There is one angel called Ridwan. So Ridwan is the leader of the angels of Jannah. And Malik, he is the leader of the angels of Jahannam. Extremely huge in size. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the responsibility to make Jahannam even more severe. So he reprimands Jahannam. He shouts at Jahannam. And just as when you reprimand somebody, they become more active. In the same way, Jahannam also becomes more active and the fire rages even more when Malik reprimands Jahannam. This is why Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he has mentioned that khalaqahu li ghadbihi, that Malik has been created for making Jahannam even more angry. إِذَا زَجَرَ النَّارُ, when he reprimands Jahannam, then أَكَلَ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا, then one part of Jahannam begins to eat another part. So what this means is one part of Jahannam destroys another part, meaning the fire gets even more severe. So when the fire is extremely severe in a room, then one part begins to destroy another part. We find this in the hadith reported by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that on one occasion Jahannam complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Jahannam said that I have now become so hot, the fire in me has become so hot that parts of me are consuming other parts of me. So again, this means the same thing, that parts of me are destroying other parts of me because it's become so hot in here, the fire has become so hot. So, on that occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he replied to Jahannam and said that I will give you permission to take 2 breaths during the year. You will breathe twice during the year. So the muhaddithin, they have explained this, that on one occasion, Jahannam, when it breathes, this breath is exhaling. So the Jahannam, it exhales the breath. So when it exhales the first time, this is when we in this world, we experience heat. So this is our summer. So in summer, when we experience the heat, this is Jahannam exhaling that heat from Jahannam, and that heat, the effect of the heat we find experience in this world. And on the second occasion when Jahannam exhales and takes a breath, then we feel cold. It's our winter. And the reason for this is that Jahannam is exhaling from that part of Jahannam which is extremely cold, which is called Zamharir. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the dua that on an extremely cold day, you should say, La ilaha illallah ma ashadda barda hadha al-yawm. Allahumma ajirni min zamhariri jahannam. That la ilaha illallah ma ashadda barda hadha al-yawm. How cold is it today? Allahumma ajirni min zamhariri jahannam. Oh Allah, save me from zamharir of jahannam, from the cold section of jahannam. The Jahannam, just as it has a hot section, it also has a cold section. And it's extremely freezing in there. A person's bones will crack when he goes into the cold section of Jahannam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us that if you read this dua on a cold day, then Allah Ta'ala says to that cold section of Jahannam that this person has asked me to save himself from you. So you be my witness that I have saved him from you. So you'll be saved from that section of Jahannam. And in the same way, on a hot day, if you read La ilaha illallah, ma ashadda harra hadal yawm, Allahumma ajirni min harri Jahannam, then a person will be saved from the hot section of Jahannam also. So we should keep these two du'as in mind and we should learn them. When it's hot, we should read the du'a for the hot day, and when it's cold, we should read the du'a for the cold day. So some muhaddithin have explained this hadith in this way, that Jahannam exhales once during the summer, once during the winter. And others have explained that it means that on one occasion Jahannam exhales and on the second occasion Jahannam inhales. So when Jahannam exhales, that's when we feel the heat. That's our summer. And when it inhales, then it's inhaling the heat from the earth, and as a result, we have no heat remaining, so we feel cold. So that's our winter. So anyway, coming back to this particular verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Jahannam will say, Ya Malik, O Malik. So Malik is one of the angels. He is the leader of the angels of Jahannam. Now, before going to Malik, when we study the other verses of the Quran, we find that before this, they will actually go to those angels who have been made the gods of Jahannam, who in total are 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding them that alayha tis'ata ashar, they are 19 in number. So the people of Jahannam will go to these 19 angels. This is after they have been punished for some time, and they will feel that we need to do something now. Somehow we need to release ourselves from this prison. So they will go to the 19 gods. And after going to the 19 gods, they will present to them their plea. And they will say that, Ud'u rabbakum yukhaffif anna yawman minal azab. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمْ. The people of Jahannam, they will go to the gods of Jahannam, who are 19. And they will say to them, Ud'u rabbakum, you present this plea to your Rabb, that yukhaffif anna yawman minal azab, that he should lighten for us one day of punishment. So number one, they're not saying take us out from Jahannam. Number two, they're not even saying that tell Allah that no punishment for one day. No, all they are saying is one day, and even in that one day, just lighten the punishment. But look at how severe it is once a person is in Jahannam. So they will reply that, أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُولُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Didn't the prophets come to you with the clear signs? Were you not informed of what's right, what's wrong, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do? So they will say that, بَلَى, definitely, yes. We were informed, we knew everything. So the angels will reply that, Ud'u wa ma du'a'u al-kafirina illa fi dalal. That you yourselves now ask Allah Ta'ala, but remember that today Allah Ta'ala is not going to listen to you. So this is the first request they will make to the 19 angels. Now when this request of theirs will fail, this is when they will now come to Malik, which is mentioned here in Surah Az-Zukhruf. That they will say, forget these 19 angels, let's ask the leader himself. So they will say to Malik, what request will they place to Malik? They will say, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. That your Rabb should settle our matter. Your Rabb should decide our matter. What this means is that your Rabb, your Allah should decide for us that He grants us death. We want to die so that we don't have to suffer anymore. They will ask for death. When they will ask for death, According to one opinion, Malik will not reply for 8 years. So they will beg Malik for 8 years, and for 8 years they will have no reply. This will intensify the punishment even more. But as far as these 8 years are concerned, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi writes that وَالسَّنَةُ سِتُّونَ وَثَلَاثُ مِئَةِ يَوْمٍ. 1 year is 360 days. The lunar year is 360 days. وَالشَّهْرُ ثَلَاثُونَ يَوْمًا. And a month consists of 30 days. So that's same, just as it is in this world. But وَالْيَوْمُ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِّمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day will be equivalent to 1,000 years. So, if a person was to do his maths, this is equivalent to 28,800,000 days. In other words, Malik will not reply for a very long time. And finally, when he does reply, his reply will be innakum makithun, that you people are certainly now going to remain in Jahannam. There is no way out from here. You will continue to be punished. You are not going to die also, even though death will be approaching them from each and every angle. In this world, if someone was to be punished for even of 1 second in that way, they would die instantly. That's how severe the punishment will be. But despite of that severe punishment, they will not die. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that when the people of Jannah have gone into Jannah and the people of Jahannam have gone into Jahannam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth a ram. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the people of Jannah also and the people of Jahannam also that, do you recognize what this is? Now, because every human being will have gone through the stage of death, then we will all recognize that that is death. Allah ta'ala will give death a form of an animal. And we will all recognize it, that this is death. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct the angels that slaughter this. In other words, get rid of death. And then Allah ta'ala will announce that after today, there is no more death. So the people of Jannah will become extremely happy that now we are going to remain in Jannah forever and ever, and we are never going to die. And the people of Jahannam, this will be an extremely severe punishment for them, just knowing that now we will remain in Jahannam forever and we are never going to die. So, innakum makithun, Malik will say to them that you are going to remain in here forever and ever. And according to Imam A'mash rahmatullahi alayh, he will reply after 1,000 years. So, there are different opinions. The gist is that he will reply after a very long period of time. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Further, they will be told that we definitely brought the truth to you, but most of you disliked or resented the truth. This لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ, according to one opinion, Malik, the angel, will say this, that we definitely, Allah Ta'ala will tell Malik, that say to them, that why are you going to remain in Jahannam forever? Because we definitely brought the truth to you, but most of you dislike the truth. So either Malik will say this, or the second opinion is that Allah Ta'ala is telling us this at this moment in time, that we definitely brought the truth to you, but most of you dislike the truth. In other words, at this moment in time, you still have the opportunity to accept the truth and mend your ways. Otherwise, you will also become from the people of Jahannam. Now, over here, it says that وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ, that most of you disliked it. So why does it say most of you? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma mentions that أَكْثَرَكُمْ here is in the meaning of كُلُّكُمْ. It means all of you. So we definitely brought the truth to you, but all of you dislike the truth. This is one opinion. A second opinion is that the reason he says most of you is because most of you here refers to the leaders. That as far as the leaders were concerned, the leaders of the Quraysh, the leaders of the disbelievers, they all disliked the truth. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the true message, they disliked it. And as far as the followers were concerned, they were simply following whatever their leaders were telling them to do. Otherwise, they themselves did not dislike the truth. They themselves did not dislike Islam. But they were just following whatever their leaders were telling them to do. So this is a second reason why it says aktharakum. And according to a third opinion, the reason why Allah Ta'ala here mentions aktharakum is because some of them, after the revelation of this ayah, in future they were going to accept Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the majority of you dislike the truth because some of you very soon are going to accept Islam, so you are not from that category who dislike the truth. So وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. Majority of you dislike the truth. Now, as far as disliking the truth is concerned, this then branches out into two very important aspects. One is that when the disbelievers, they dislike the truth, then their conspiracy is against the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their conspiracy is against our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two is that their conspiracy is against Tawheed, against the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, in a few verses, first of all mentions regarding the conspiracy against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter in a few verses mentions against their conspiracy against Tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. First of all, the conspiracy against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that أَمْ أَبْرَمُوا أَمْرًا فَإِنَّا مُبْرِمُونَ. Or, did they devise a resolute plan? Did they devise a definite plan? Indeed, we are also planning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Makkah al-Mukarramah with the truth. لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Islam. He came with the message that there is only one Allah who is worthy of worship. He came with the message that he is the prophet of the book of Allah Ta'ala. Now, whenever somebody stands up with the true message, you will have first of all two groups. You will have one group who will accept this message and who will follow. And you will have a second group who will not accept his message and who will not follow. They will be the enemies. They will plan against this group who is on the truth, and they will also make this their mission that they want to somehow eradicate and destroy those people who are on the haq and the truth. And this has happened throughout the ages, and it will continue to happen until the day of Qiyamah. In the world, you will always find two groups. You will find one who is on the truth and one who is not on the truth. Those who are on the truth, they will do everything to ensure that they remain on the truth, and that this message can be propagated throughout the entire world, that this is the correct version of Islam, or this is what is correct. And you will find another group who will be against the truth, and they will do everything they can to try and destroy those who are on the truth. For this, a person will be ready to give his life also. A person will be ready to sacrifice his wealth also. And we see this throughout the times, till this very day and age, in present time also, when we study how the world is, you will find some people who are ready to give their lives for the truth, you will find others who are ready to give their lives for falsehood. So this is nothing new. This is something which has happened all the time and it will continue to happen. Now those who are not on the truth, they use two weapons through which they can stop people from either accepting the truth or remaining on the truth. Number one is that they create greed. They incentivize, they give incentives. That, for example, if you do not accept Islam, or if you don't stay on Islam, if you become one of us, then this is what we will give you in return. Whether it's wealth, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whether it's status. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a poet, extremely famous poet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him such an ability in poetry that if he was to make any new poem, then instantly that poem would become viral. And everyone in Arabia would begin to sing those couplets. So he decided to once come to Makkatul Mukarrama because he had heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he thought to himself that let me also go and see that what's all this talk about. This person claims to be the prophet. He claims that verses of the Quran are being revealed to him. So let me also go and listen. So as he was coming to Makkatul Mukarrama, the leaders of Makkatul Mukarrama knew that if he was to come to Makkah Mukarrama and listen to the Quran, he will definitely accept Islam. Because he is such a great poet that he will know that this Quran is not poetry. This is something much higher. A human being can never make such verses. And if he accepts Islam, then when he will now make poetry in favor of the Muslims, everybody else will also accept Islam. So due to his influence, we have to ensure he doesn't accept Islam. So when he reached the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarrama, they went to him. And they said, for you to go there and speak to this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is just going to be a waste of time. We'll give you something far greater. And what is this? We will give you 100 camels. Now in those days, if somebody was to be given just one camel, this was regarded as something very valuable. It's like someone giving you a very expensive car in this day and age. So one expensive car. So one camel was like one very expensive car. So imagine 100 camels. This is why when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated, the prize was that if you were to get him dead or alive, you will get 100 camels in return. So 100 camels was a huge prize. A huge prize. And they said, we will give you 100 camels all laden with goods. So 100 camels with the luggage. So he fell for this. And he said that, fine, you give me the 100 camels and I won't go and meet him. I'll return back. They gave him the 100 camels. As he turned round and he began to journey back towards home, he fell off the animal he was on. He broke his neck and instantly he died. This is khasira dunya wal akhirah. He didn't get anything in this world also. He never got anything in the hereafter also. And in there is a very deep lesson for you and I. That sometimes in life, you'll have the opportunity to do something good at the expense of sacrificing this world. So never make that mistake on that occasion. Never make that mistake that because of this worldly gain, I'm not going to carry out this good deed. It's very possible that because you are turning your face away from a good action for this world, which has no value, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could deprive you greatly of both. And it has happened to many people that they had an opportunity to do something from a dini point of view, from a religious point of view. But the only thing which was stopping them is that if I take that path, then from a worldly point of view, there's going to be failure. From a worldly point of view, I could progress much more if I take this path. And within a few years, they saw that they never gain anything in this world also, and they lost the akhirah also. So this is one way in which the disbelievers, they try to stop people from accepting the truth or remaining on the truth. That they tell them that we will give you things. They create this greed within the people. And the second is that they instill fear. They threaten people. That if you accept Islam, or if you remain on Islam, then we are going to kill you. Your life is at risk. Hence, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever would accept Islam, they announced that if someone accepts Islam, torture him and torture him to such an extent that everyone in Arabia can see that if I was to accept Islam, this is going to happen to me also. Now these people, their iman was so firm and so strong due to that company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they spent one moment in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their iman became so strong that no matter how much you would torture them, they would not leave the fold of Islam. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is being dragged in the hot Arabian sun, and stones are being placed on his body. And he is being told that all you have to do is denounce Islam and we will stop this torture. But the only thing which would come on his tongue was Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. Qabbah bin Arad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people, they are torturing us so much now that ala tad'u lana, are you not going to make dua for us? Ala tastansiru lana, are you not going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist and help us? You know, this is where it's reached now. Just imagine that a sahabi is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What level of torture did these people go through? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, even on this occasion, that as a Muslim, you need to persevere and you need to endure patience upon all of this. And what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to O Khabbab, قَدْ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ, before you there were people, يُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلْ, who would take a man, فَيُحْفَرُ لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and then they would dig a hole inside the ground. فَيُجْعَلُ فِيهَا, then this man would be placed inside this hole. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْمِنْشَارِ, then an axe would be brought. And this, with this axe, this person, فَيُجْعَلُ نِصْفَيْنِ, he would be slit into two. His entire body would be slit into half. But despite of all of this, thereafter the flesh would be removed from his bones. But despite all of this, he would still remain firm on the deen and he would not leave Islam. And thereafter, after mentioning this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he gave the glad tidings that wallahi, by the qasam of Allah, layutimanna hadal amr, a time is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the Muslims victory. And there will be such peace on this earth that a person will travel from Sana'a all the way to Hadramaut and he will fear nobody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, they were being tortured severely. So this was the second scheme. The first was that they would create greed in people. That if you were to stop accepting Islam, then this is what we will give you in return. And number two, if you do accept Islam or remain on Islam, then this is how you are going to be tortured. Now when they saw that the Sahaba are still remaining on Islam, then they took this a step further. And they said that now we are not only going to punish the person who accepts Islam, we are going to punish his entire family also. So now a person would think to himself that if I accept Islam, I may be able to persevere upon this punishment. But what about my mother? What about my father? What about my brother? What about my sister? And in this way, they continued to punish them. And together with punishing them, they then began to make plans they began to make schemes and they began to have meetings as to how they can destroy Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's regarding this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this next verse of Surah Az-Zukhruf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in fact indicating towards an incident. Imam Muqatil rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that this verse has been revealed with regards to the plan which the disbelievers made regarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This takes us to that historical night in Makkatul Mukarramah, prior to migration, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is still in Makkatul Mukarramah, and the mushrikeen and the disbelievers, they are observing very carefully as to the progress, as to how Islam is progressing, how the Muslims are progressing. They observe that now Islam has spread to Medina Munawwara also, because people are migrating from Makkah to Medina in ones, in twos, in threes. Some came from Madinatul Munawwara and they realize that these people are Muslims. And people are going to Medina, they are accepting Islam. So the disbelievers thought to themselves that people are going to Medina, they are accepting Islam, they have a place to stay. It's very possible that very soon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will also migrate there. And if he was to migrate there, Islam and the Muslims will now have a center. And from there, they will be able to make Islam spread throughout the four corners of the world. So we have to stop this. How do we stop this? So for this, there needs to be a plan. So they called a cobra meeting. And where did the meeting take place? The meeting took place in Darun Nadwa. Darun Nadwa was adjacent to the Haram during that time. In present day, it's inside Al-Masjidul Haram. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi Ma'riful Quran writes that if you were to be able to locate Babu Ziyadat in the Haram, then this is where Darun Nadwa is. So this Darun Nadwa, it belonged to one of the ancestors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by the name of Qusay bin Kilab. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the son of Abdullah. He's the son of Abdul Muttalib. He's the son of Hashim. He's the son of Abd Manaf. He's the son of Qusay. So Qusay is the sixth great grandfather. And Qusay is the son of Kilab bin Murrah bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay bin Nadhar bin Kinana bin Khuzaymah Mudrikah Ilyas Nadhar bin Adnan. Until Adnan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage is authentic, which you can find in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Thereafter, there are difference of opinions. But until Adnan is definite. So Qusay bin Kilab, one of the ancestors of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to him belonged this Darun Nadwa. So in Darun Nadwa, we find the likes of Abu Jahl, who is the leader of the disbelievers, Nadhar bin Harith, Utba, Shayba, Umayyah bin Khalaf. All of these were regarded as the leaders. And Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, who later accepted Islam, he was the only one who accepted Islam from amongst these individuals. But at that time, he was not a Muslim. They all gathered in Darun Nadwa for a meeting. That how do we put a stop to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam's mission here? Now, three individuals are worth mentioning, plus one. The plus one is Shaytan. Because Shaytan, when he saw that this meeting is going to take place, which is one of the most important meetings in the history of Islam, because this was the meeting which was possibly the first meeting to try and destroy Islam. So all the meetings are taking place after this until today, whether it's the Zionists or whoever else, they are all the puppets of this particular lineage. This chain continues until today. But this was this first meeting. So Shaitan thought, let me also go there. This is my opportunity to put an end to Islam. But he went in the form of a human being, an old Arab man, and he went there, and the meeting took place. They asked him when he entered that, "Who are you?" It's a very important meeting here. So he said that, "I've come from a place called Najd, and I was informed that this very important meeting is going to take place against Islam, and I also want to assist you in ensuring you make the right decision." They gave him permission also. Al-jinsu yamilu ila al-jins. In Arabic, there's a saying that you are inclined towards those people who have the same habits and character as you. So just as the good are inclined towards the good, the evil are inclined towards the evil. So instantly they were inclined towards shaitan. The first individual who spoke was Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hisham. He gave his opinion. And his opinion was that we should chain Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and place him under house arrest. Chain him in his own house, just leave him there. No food, no drink. Sooner or later he will die in his own house. This was his opinion. But when he said this, Shaitan replied and Shaitan said that if you were to do this, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has many followers. There are many people who love him and his companions. They will go out searching for him and they will find him in his own house. And once they find him, they will release him. And because they know that this is what we did, then it's very possible they will attack us. So this is not a good opinion. Second opinion was then given by a man called Abu al-Aswad. Abu al-Aswad said that what we should do is we should exile him from Makkah al-Mukarramah. He can go and live anywhere else, but not in Makkah al-Mukarramah. So that at least in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he cannot spread this religion of Islam. Again, Shaitan spoke and Shaitan said that no. This man, he is extremely sweet in his speech. And when he will speak, when he will read the verses of the Quran, he is going to attract many people. He will create a very large following. And with this following, they will be able to spread Islam also. And it's possible they will attack you and destroy you also. Finally, Abu Jahl spoke. And Abu Jahl said that the only opinion which comes to mind is that we should kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the reason why they were not inclined towards killing our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that the ruling in Arabia was the ruling of Islam, which is the ruling of Qisas. The Qisas basically means that if you kill somebody, in return you will also be killed. So killing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them made sense, but who's going to take up that courage? Because as soon as you kill him, the Abd Manaf tribe will come and your life will be at stake. So Abu Jahl said that what we will do is that from every different tribe in Arabia, we will get one young man, one youth from every different tribe. And all of them will be given a sword each, and they will all attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. So in this way, one person will not have the liability of killing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they cannot take qisas upon everybody. So the only opinion, the only option then is diyat. Diyat basically means that in those days, the value of one human being was 100 camels. So if you kill somebody and it's not possible to take qisas, then it's diyat that you have to give 100 camels. So he said, that's easy. Together, we will easily be able to give them 100 camels. Shaitan said that yes, Abu Jahl has given the best opinion. This is going to happen and this is going to happen tonight. The youth were pulled in from Sham. And they were told that you will have to surround the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the morning when he is about to leave before the Fajr Salah, then this is when you are going to attack him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to this in Surah Al-Anfal that whilst all of this planning was going on this land, in this house of Darul Nadwa, in the darkness of Makkah Al-Mukarramah, one thing these people did not realize, that there is an Allah who is watching all of this And this Allah is also planning. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Remember that time when the disbelievers were planning against you or regarding you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ, that either they should imprison you, أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ, or they should kill you, أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ, or they should exile you from Makkah al-Mukarramah. This was the plan that was being made. But وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, they were making their plans and Allah Ta'ala was making His plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of all planners. And Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi writes here that if you look at the Quran very carefully, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, this is فَعْلٍ مُضَارِئٍ. فَعْلٍ مُضَارِئٍ means that وَيَمْكُرُونَ, they will continue to plan. Meaning it's not only one incident, this will continue until the day of Qiyamah, where the disbelievers will continue to plot and plan and scheme against the Muslims and against Islam. But they should know وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ, Allah Ta'ala will also continue to plan. And when Allah Ta'ala will continue to plan and Allah is the best of all planners, then the disbelievers should know that they are never going to pass in their plans. They are never going to succeed in their plans. And a Muslim should never feel that these people are planning against us. What chance have we got? No, if you are with Allah, if you believe in Allah and you are obeying Allah, you have nothing to worry. Because Wallahu khayrul makirin. So these people, they were planning in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But on this side, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam is sent. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of the entire plan. Without them knowing that he knows everything. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they have planned to kill you today, but Allah Ta'ala has granted you permission that tonight you are going to migrate to Madinatul Munawwara. And tonight you are not going to sleep in your bed. Today you are going to tell Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he is going to sleep in your bed. This is from the fadail and the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu, that he was chosen to sleep in the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the night of Hijrah, the very night when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was at stake and the plan was made to kill him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that all of these different possessions which you see in my house. Just imagine that on that night when you are going to be killed, or a plan has been made that you are going to be killed. But you are saying to Ali radiallahu anhu that this belongs to that enemy of mine who is going to kill me. And this belongs to that enemy of mine who is going to kill me. And this belongs to that enemy of mine who is going to kill me. I am going to Medina. Make sure after I go to Medina, you return everything back to each person. This is the honesty of Islam. Otherwise, in that state, Islam does not even demand from you that you have to return the trust. Because your life is at risk. You need to run for your life. There's a fire alarm and the teacher says, leave everything and go. So over here, your life is at risk. Allah Ta'ala is not going to tell you that first give everything back and then go. But this is the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the trustworthiness he shows us. That even when his life is at risk, he is telling Ali radiallahu anhu that you need to return everything. And then, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is in his home. The house has already been surrounded. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is informed by Jibreel that all you need to do is leave the house. Recite the verses of Surah Yasin. And take some sand and just sprinkle the sand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the rest. He sprinkles the sand and every single individual who had surrounded the house, they fall asleep. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks past. After some time, one passerby sees them. So he asked, what are you people doing here? So they say that we are going to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he leaves the house. So he said, I just saw him. He's gone that way. So they quickly go in the house. When they look in the bed, they see that it's not Muhammad, it's Ali radiallahu anhu. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So regarding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here that أَمْ أَبْرَمُوا أَمْرًا فَإِنَّا مُبْرِمُونَ. abramu amran fa inna mubrimun, that or did they devise a resolute plan? Did they devise a definite plan? Indeed, we are also planning. Indeed, we are also planning. If they have made this plan that we are going to destroy Islam, we have also made a plan that we are going to keep Islam secure. If they have made this plan that we are not going to let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mission flourish, we have also made a plan that we are going to make it flourish. أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ, or do they think that we do not hear their secrets and their stealthy meetings, their conspiracies? Most certainly we do, and our scribes are with them writing. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah, he writes under the commentary of this ayah that there were three individuals, two Qurayshis and one Thaqafi, or two Thaqafis and one Qurayshi. And the three were sitting and they had made some plan against Islam. So one of them said that we are talking, but what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear us? What if Allah ta'ala can hear us? So the second one said that no, if we speak quietly, if we speak quietly, then Allah Ta'ala cannot hear us. But if we speak loudly, then Allah Ta'ala can hear us. The third one said, what are you talking about? Whether we talk quietly or whether we talk loudly, Allah Ta'ala can hear everything. In every classroom, you have three different groups. You have those who are extremely intelligent, then you have the moderate ones, and then you have the bicharas right at the end, the low one, the low class. Understand? This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what does Hazrat Anas Radiallahu Anhu say? When he would speak, he would say things three times. That doesn't mean he would say every sentence three times. What this means is that when he would teach, sometimes he would know that I need to, this is something difficult, so I need to explain it three times. When you say it the first time, the intelligent will understand. They only need to hear it once. When you say it two times, those that are the middle, they will understand also. And when you say it the third time, then the last category, they will also understand. And if you still don't understand, then after class you have to ask the teacher. See? Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi actually had a student that after class he would go and he would ask 80 times. And Imam Shafi would explain to him 80 times. Why? Because this is a teacher, when he has this passion, and somehow my student has to understand the lesson. Anyway. So, do they think that we do not hear the secrets and these meetings? Most certainly we do. Our scribes are with them. So they have angels also. If they think to themselves that we're going to hide inside this room here, we're going to lock the doors, we're going to put a password on our computers, and nobody is going to know about our conspiracies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nobody is going to know about your conspiracies. First of all, Allah ta'ala knows everything. And number two, you can put whatever password you want, there's an angel here writing everything down. All your conspiracies are being written down by the angel. Where are you going to hide? In which building are you going to hide? You can have a bulletproof as well, but it doesn't matter. We've got angels here. The angels are writing everything down. بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. So until here, it's with regards to their disliking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And thereafter, the second is with regards to Tawheed. So very quickly, I will end. That with regards to Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدْ فَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْعَابِدِينَ. That say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if Rahman had a son, then I would have been the first to worship. Over here, the in is either nafiya or shartiya. Nafiya means that it creates a meaning of negating in the sentence. So in kana lirrahman means that Rahman does not have a son. So in here means not. In kana lirrahmani walad, Rahman does not have a son or a child. Fa ana awwalul abidin, and the proof of this is that I worship Allah. Now if Allah did have a son, I would have worshipped the son also. But the fact that I don't worship, this in itself is proof that Allah does not have a child. And in kan bi shartiya, then we translate it as in kana lirrahmani walad, if Rahman had a son, fa ana awwalul abidin, then I would have been the first to worship. In other words, Allah Ta'ala does not have children, like the Yahud would say Uzair is the son of Allah, the Christians would say Isa is the son of Allah, and the Mushrikeen would say al-Malaikah, the angels, banatullah, are the daughters of Allah. Subhana Rabbi Samawati wal Audi Rabbil Arshi Amma Yasifun. The Rabb of the heavens and the earth, the Rabb of the throne, is pure from whatever they associate with him. Fadarhum Yahudu Wayal Abu Hatta Yulaku Yawmahum Ladhi Yu'adun. So leave them to engage in talks and to play until they encounter the day that they have been promised. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is finally instructed here that these mushrikeen, whatever plans they are making against the Muslims, then let them continue to do what they want to do. You carry on with your mission. A day is going to come when you will be meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will also meet with Allah ta'ala. And that's when everything will be clear that who was on the right and who was on the wrong. In here there is a message for all of us that when we call towards the haq, when we call towards the truth, when we practice upon Islam, and during these moments, you will face criticism. You will face people who will speak against you. You will face people who will ridicule you. But at that time, you have to stick to the mission and you have to tell yourself that on the day of Qiyamah, it will be made clear that who was right and who was wrong. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to understand and practice upon whatever has been taught in today's lesson. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. It's one important announcement that next week, just for next week, the lesson will take place on Sunday after Asr. So only next week, the lesson will be on Sunday instead of Saturday. So, and it's possible that next week we will complete the surah. There's only a few ayats remaining. So either next week or the week after, we will try and complete the surah. Next week there is the graduation ceremony at the Islamic Dawah Academy on Saturday after Zuhr. So for this reason, there will be no Dars of Quran on Saturday, but instead we will have the Dars on Sunday after Asr.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل؟ وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل، ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل، فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. لإيلاف قريش، إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف، فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله